It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Jenna Ortega, just for continuity's sake. Jordan Breeding, who was the guy who revitalized the Cracked channel, YouTube channel, got fired.
fired?
Well, let go.
Oh, why?
Because the people who own Cracked, who may be new people, I don't know if it got sold or what, but are going in a different direction.
But isn't that why all those previous people got let go? And then they kind of went back to that direction in a way?
Well, no, you got to understand. The Cracked YouTube channel has been owned by like 8,000 different companies in the last few years. It just keeps it's one of those that just gets sold to venture capitalists to presumably shuffle debt off. And so he started his own channel. And the main thing he's doing on his channel is my favorite thing he did on Cracked, which are series recaps. Where he, I think I've talked before, like the first one he ever did was, it was sort of a, it was like a long sketch thing where the premise was he was trapped in a basement and chained up, and the only way he could escape is if he watched and recapped every Saw movie. And so then he just talks about the plot of all the Saw movies in a funny way, which is great because I'm fascinated by the plot of something like the Saw movies. You couldn't pay me to watch a Saw movie. And I thought he was funny. And so he's done it with a bunch, and not just horror movies. He's done it with the God's Not Dead movies. He's done it with the Santa Claus movies, but he's done it with the Underworld movies and all sorts of ones. So that's what he's primarily doing on his channel now. And so I'm happy about that. But he can only manage to do them once a month because they take a long time. And in between, he's doing really dumb little things that just annoy the shit out of me. And I'm like, I want to support you, dude, but it's annoying. And he had one, he's done a couple where he's like, this video is not about, and the first one was, this video is not about Jenna Ortega. And it's just 2.5 minutes of him making jokes about how he's not talking about Jenna Ortega, even though everybody else does. And you want to get into the algorithm that way and connect to the zeitgeist. And just the joke is he's talking a lot about Jenna Ortega. And it's really annoying. But he did the Scream franchise just last week, and next he's gonna do Friday the 13th.
What's his name?
So I'm excited for that. Jordan Breeding. The channel is called Dr. Jordan Breeding because the initial conceit when he opened up the Crack channel again was that he was a doctor, and a lot of jokes were about how he's definitely a real doctor.
But I mean. But he was doing that Dr. Jordan Breeding shtick on a retread of, what was it called? What was the other thing they did? The pop culture.
Oh, Obsessive Pop Culture Disorder.
Yeah, wasn't he sort of doing a riff on that?
A lot of people claim that. He actually thinks he was doing more of a retread of, Reckless Disagreement, which was one of the ones Sargent made. But the truth is that channel and the internet are full of things exactly like that. So
Yeah,
it did kind of have that vibe. His initial show was called Your Brain on Cracked, and it was, again, it was a listicle of things he noticed, and there's tons of those. So it did have that vibe, but then they branched out into other shows and they got other people involved and stuff like that. And I do still watch that. I watch a lot of stuff on Cracked. All of it is before he left. It's either stuff of his that I liked or the classic stuff that I will rewatch over and over and over because I'm broken inside. Anyway, so that when I was talking about Jenna Ortega. And then he did Scream, which stars Jenna Ortega in the last two movies. So he, in the midst of it, he's like, okay, you got me, internet. Now I'm talking about Jenna Ortega. I hope you're happy. Anyway. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that I do. And I mean, everybody is asking me to guest on their podcast. Just all the biggies all the time. WTF, you made it weird. You're wrong about my brother and me. My favorite murder. All of these podcasts are begging me. They're like, we need your thing that no one else has. And I'm like, no, I'm loyal to one and only one podcast, this one. And also, William's on here. I'm Tony.
And I am the aforementioned William. And this is episode 630.
And William's just been whoring it around. He's done a few other podcasts. Like, he has no standards.
No standards or shame.
But or shame.
And other words that start with S.
He has nothing. He doesn't even have, he has no nouns, no adjectives. He's got a couple of verbs, but they are largely just for life support. He can yep. breathe, he can eat, but that's about it.
About it.
For those of you just joining us, don't. Sorry. I hope you didn't leave yet. Don't start with this episode. Back up one episode. The one about how we mentioned Jenna Ortega, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to make that the title of that episode. And it'll explain it there, because this is a two-parter we had to do this time. So William and I, this is our second hour of podcasting this afternoon, even though for you it's your second week of us. But you get it. Nobody new is listening now. You guys
you get it.
You get it. And so some of you will be very excited and some of you will be very disappointed and maybe turn it off. I want to talk a little bit about video games.
Mm. Yep, let's do it.
I've been having some experiences with video games lately.
Mm.
I dated one for a while. We had a kid. Mm-hmm. It was purely an accident, but we decided to keep it. No, mm-hmm. sorry. That's not no. what I mean.
Well, that started to get interesting.
So, Horizon Forbidden West.
Yes.
Still playing it.
Mm.
It is still my favorite video game series. I'm getting tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized something. In very much in the way that Wakanda Forever made me realize I might not watch MCU movies anymore at all. I'm gonna finish Forbidden West.
Mm-hmm.
The stories are too amazing, and in fact, even recently we had yet another shift that was totally just altered the landscape for me, and it was really cool. I did put the difficulty down from easy to story difficulty because I'm like, I want absolutely no challenge. I want whatever gets me through this the fastest. even if I mean, I'm still doing the side things because the side quests have their own stories and those are cool and stuff, but like, I just want to sort of get through it. But this might be my last, or at least my last for a while, of these open world, the games that of the genre that the zero punctuation guy Yahtzee refers to as Jiminy Cockthroat, because he has a very foul mouth and he mentioned that they needed to come up with a genre name because there are so many of them. They're open world stealth action games with crafting elements. And there are a billion of them. And they are very popular. And they have always been very popular with me. All the Assassin's Creeds, all the Mass Effects, all of that jazz. Even Legend of Zelda went in that direction. Fallout, yes, also. Everything Bethesda's ever done. Basically, yeah. Elder Scrolls, all that stuff. And I'm just tired. And this dovetails really nicely with me kind of not wanting to give my money to the large video game developers as much because they are kind of monsters in a variety of ways. The crushing of the competition, but also can't go a week without hearing about treating their employees horrible / all the sexual harassment taking place, all of that stuff. And so I'm kind of like, I would love a reason not to give them money, and I have been doing less of it. I also am really slow, so I've got my PlayStation Plus thing, which I know Sony's yet another one of these monsters, but they give me free games, and often they'll give me something that was like really cool a year ago, but I don't have it yet, and I'm gonna spend more money on it, so that's good. So I've been doing that with some things, but I'm also kind of getting tired of this, and they're fun, and in a way they're like role playing, but these indie games are getting so creative and doing new things I haven't seen before, and having a time span where I can get all the playtime out of it I'm gonna before I get sick of it. Because I've talked about that before. Assassin's Creed, I used to love the Assassin's Creed series, but I always said I'm like obsessed with the game of Assassin's Creed, and I play it and I do all the things and I play it for hours and hours and hours, way longer than most people do. And then sometime, usually before I finish the game, I just hit a point where I'm like, I am sick of all of this. And it's just 0 to 100 immediately. Like,
right.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I never want to see this again. To the degree that I ended up not finishing Assassin's Creed Odyssey and never even touched Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And to be fair, other than Blizzard, Ubisoft is probably the shittiest of the video game companies out there right now. So that helps. And Ubisoft has also really drained their creative thing. Nowadays, any game they put out, it's because there's been a huge rash of successful versions of that same game. So I'm kind of sick of them anyway. But these shorter games, and a lot of them have emotional and story impact on me like nothing you see in these AAA titles. And it's a nice limited thing, and I have the experience, and it's wonderful, and I will talk about it for years to come and move on to something else. This also coincides with me being a much more casual gamer than I used to be. Not that I've ever been really hardcore, but my days of, you know, multiple hours a day kind of thing are pretty gone. So I'm doing more of that. And so that's point one. Point two, which relates, is PlayStation Network had its spring sale. And every time it has a sale, I go in and look a little bit, mostly because I like looking at like indie titles I've never heard of, or sometimes titles that I was like, I should play that, and then like 5 years went by and I forgot, or titles that were really awesome, but everybody already played it, but I haven't, and now it's available for 90% off.
Right.
So I go grab it. So anyway, long story short, even though I'm still playing Horizon Forbidden West, I recently spent $23 and change and got 5 new games off of there.
Wow.
And installed all of them.
Mm.
And to be fair, I've only played 4 of them so far. But the one I haven't played is The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing, which kind of looks like a vaguely steampunky, and it looks like it's based off of that Hugh Jackman movie, which was not very good, but we'd probably make a good video then. And it looks very sort of Diablo-y, and it was like $3, so whatever.
I think we played
that. So I want to talk about what?
I think we played that.
That
Van Helsing one.
Well, and I know another friend of mine on PlayStation Network who, and in real life, who is one of those real hardcore gamers. I saw them playing it a lot, and they wouldn't play it if it was shit. So that was a good sign. So I figure I'll get some enjoyment out of that. But I played some other ones, some of which are known, some of which are not known. One I got, and I'm saying this part of the reason I'm saying this is some of you out there are gamers, some of you out there own PlayStations, and the spring sales, followers I know, is still going on. And some of these games are like $1.50. So if it sounds good to you, you could do it. I got Burnout Paradise Remastered. I don't know if you remember, the Burnout series has been around for a long time, and it is very not realistic. It is very like an arcade racing kind of game. And I don't generally care about racing games. I'm not very good at them. They are generally designed to compete with other people, and I don't tend to enjoy that. When Trish and I would play them, it was one of those many kinds of games that one of us would inevitably be better than the other, and that person would want to play it more, and they would get even more better, and then it just wasn't really fun. But Burnout is also known for its hellacious car crashes done in very detailed slow motion, such that we owned Burnout 2 and played it a lot, but only a specific mode in it, which was called crash mode. And the whole point of it was you would get in a car and you would basically head for an intersection full of traffic and crash, and your goal was to do the most money in damage. And it was real fun to, like, if I bank it here, I'll flip through the air and I'll hit this tanker truck, which will fucking explode, and then like, and all this fun stuff. And this game is from a long time ago, set in a fictitious paradise city. And it is not that. They don't have crash mode anymore, which annoys me. But it's just a racer game, and it's set in this fake city that's been all detailed out. And all over it are little events at traffic lights. You can stop it. Oh, this is a racing one. And so if you want to play it, you can hit this button and then you'll be in a race to this point. Or here's one where the idea is to take down three other cars before time runs out. Or here's one where you're trying to go as fast as possible through this section. You're not competing directly against somebody. But, or here's one where everybody's trying to chase you and you have to make it to your goal before somebody makes you wreck. Things like that. And as you do these, you unlock new cars and shit. But the game, it's like a full, because it's such an old one, it's like all the bells and whistles and DLC and everything. So I've already got like 60 cars of varying kinds. And there's only like three real non-aesthetic distinctions about like how the cars operate. And so I kind of am not doing any of the events. I'm just driving around the city. And like, and there's cool stuff. There's places where you can go off jumps, and there's places where you can find shortcuts, and I tell myself whenever I boot it up, I'm like, this time I'm going to just drive normal and sort of get a lay of the land. And before I know it, I'm just holding down the gas pedal and just driving. Oh, zooming right. And then I miss something. Then and I just giggle. And then I get, it puts me back on the road and I go. And there's no point to it, but it's just fun. And I think the game cost me like $2. I've definitely already gotten that much use out of it. It's not a game I'm gonna get deep into, and within a couple of weeks I may forget about it forever, but it's just fun. So that was me. I also recently started a game called Monster Harvest.
Monster Harvest.
Yes. It is a farming game. No, sorry. Let me back up. It's Stardew Valley. Like, it's really Stardew Valley.
What, like, does that mean?
Do you know the game Stardew Valley?
No.
Oh, you're a monster. actually, I'd say your wife should play Stardew Valley, but you may never see her get it. She does. It's... But what about Harvest Moon? You know the Harvest Moon games?
Mm-mm.
Have you ever played a cute little farming simulator? By which I mean, has your wife?
No.
It's a whole genre. Going back ages and ages with the series called Harvest Moon, that then for legal reasons had to switch to being called Story of Seasons. And the basic premise of all these games is usually it was little sprites. Even the more recent ones, there's little sprites, not polygons or whatever. And you, for some reason, inherit a farm. And the farm is overgrown to shit. And you go around and clean it up, plant seeds, and you sell things. But then there's also a town, and you go and you meet all of these people, and you help them with things, and you can give them gifts. And if they like the gifts, they will like you more. And eventually they will like you so much you could marry one of them eventually. And depending on the game, you might have a kid. And meanwhile, you can expand your house with certain resources and money over time. And if you get successful enough, you can also build other buildings on your farm. You can have like a barn, and that way you'll get cows and sheep, and then you can get milk and wool, and you can turn those into textiles and butter and things like this. And there's fishing, and there's lots of things to like unlock. Like, can you get all the stuff? And there's usually seasons, so certain crops only work in certain seasons, and you have to water your crops every day. And it's just, and there's sometimes there's elements of like, oh, and there's a dungeon and there's monsters, and you got to go fight monsters sometimes, and you get other resources out of that. And then you can like upgrade your tools if you find ore and you give it to the blacksmith. And oh, there's usually something equivalent to a rec center that nobody's been using for a while. And if you find things, you can build it up, and then you get cool bonuses and stuff. And there's all sorts of cosmetics and furniture and stuff, and you learn how to build things. And it's just a real sweet cartoon farming simulator. And you can basically, sometimes there's plot elements, but largely you can do whatever you want. And the biggest one in recent years is one called Stardew Valley. And everyone in the world loves it. It's like just huge, and it's got a huge modding community and all sorts of stuff. And their whole YouTube channels dedicated to it, and you're the first person I've ever known who hasn't played it. I've played it on my PC. Stardew, all one word, like D-E-W, Stardew Valley. But it is the exemplar of an entire genre of video games. And based on how I know your wife plays, and specifically how I know your wife played Fallout 4, I think she would love this shit. But they are often referred to as casual. Because they're super chill, because there's no real incentive. And I consider this a bald-faced lie.
So, like, what's that one that people... There's another game that people call casual and the people who play it don't like it. What's the one where you live in a little community, and you, I think your avatar is like an animal, and you make friends, and
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, Animal Crossing.
Yeah, no. And in the same way, the same reason I don't consider Animal Crossing. I mean, I understand why other people do. This is all about me and my anxiety disorder. But it's the truth, because you can do whatever you want, but the clock is ticking. So I wake up in the morning and it's 7 a.m. I can do whatever I want, but I can't do everything in that day because the time's going to run out. And if I'm sitting there, there's no pause either. If I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to do, I'm burning daylight. And sometimes I want to do a thing that means I have to collect certain flowers, let's say. And one of those flowers is rare and only grows in the spring season and only grows at midnight in this one spot or something. And I don't have to do it. The game's not going to be mad at me if I don't. But if that's my goal, I got to make sure I do it then. And if I don't, I'm waiting an entire calendar year, which in this game, in Stardew Valley, would be 120 game days.
Wow.
And so it takes a while. And then there's things like, I've never gotten this far, but apparently in Stardew Valley, your grandpa bequeathed you the farm. And I forget what happens, but at the 3-year point, there is a benchmark at the 3-year point that I think you can fail. And apparently it's very easy and it's unlikely you will, but it's still technically a thing. And then there's other stuff, like there's community events and you can do cool stuff in those and you can unlock certain things and stuff. And they happen once a year. And if you're not ready, when that day shows up, nobody's fucking waiting for you. And things like this. And just stuff like that. I want to romance so-and-so, but they only are around. I only know where they are in town this part of the day. So I have to make sure I go there that. And I want to give them a gift, but it's something that is hard to get in certain seasons. And certain crops I can't even do in certain times. I want to build a thing, can't do it. Like, it's casual in that you can't lose, mm-hmm. but it's not casual in that you can sort of do what you want anytime you want. So anyway, Monster Harvest is Stardew Valley, but shittier in every regard. The graphics are way worse. The interface is way more janky. The tutorials for things don't make a lot of sense. But there are two things that make it distinctive. Mm. One is Pokemon. The conceit of Monster Harvest is that your uncle didn't die, but he's a scientist and he is in this place where he's discovered slimes that come out of caves. And these slimes have weird effects on other things. And in particular, they turn plants into animals, little like plant animals. Mm. Plantimals is what they actually call them. And he's doing this research and he's obsessed with this research. So the farm that he used to run is just sitting there and you're his niece or nephew. And he remembers you used to like it. So he's like, if you want to come here, you can have it. It's your farm now, if you want. And you do, because otherwise there's no game. But meanwhile, a town has formed around this area because of this discovery, because an economy has been, people will sell the slimes to other people and people will sell plantimals or breed plantimals and things like this. And so there's a little town. And so it turns into this whole game and you can make plantimals because you're growing crops and you take a slime and literally makes that noise on a crop. And when it grows up, it's not a radish. It's a radish monster or whatever, and these go around with you. And there's a part of the game where you go into dungeons to discover things, and there's actually a sort of pseudo plot line. There's a company that showed up that is also interested in the slime, but they're maybe nefarious. That's the thing. That's also a thing in Stardew Valley. You start off as a drone worker for what is clearly a thinly veiled version of Walmart. And when you move to Stardew Valley, a Walmart opens and you have the option to go there, and things are much cheaper there and things like that. But obviously then you're buying into that rather than the mom and pop. And it's, there's sort of a point to that. But anyway, so there's a through line. And when you go into the dungeons, you need some plantimals with you, because when you run into other plantimals, it's a Pokemon style turn-based combat thing. And your plantimals can get stronger and unlock new abilities and things like that. And so that's different, and it's kind of fun. I'm enjoying it a little bit. But the other thing, and this one is super key for me, there is no clock. There is day, and there is night, and there is a calendar. There is no clock. So what happens is I wake up in the morning. I have a stamina bar, which is also common. Stardew Valley has energy, same thing. And when you do shit, it takes stamina. And eventually, if you run out of stamina, you can't, I mean, you can still like walk around and talk to people, but like swing your axe on that tree. I can't, I'm too tired, you know, that kind of thing. And you can eat things or drink things of certain types that will restore stamina sometimes. So you can do that. You can craft stuff. But in general, when you're out of stamina, your day's pretty much done. When you go to your house and go to bed, it says, do you want to sleep until nighttime? and you'll gain a little bit of stamina, and then you can get up and you can do more work around your farm, or you can go to the dungeons because you can only go to the dungeons at night, or you can go to the town saloon because it's only open at night. There are things that happen at night, so you can do that, or do you just want to go to bed until tomorrow, and then you'll have a full stamina bar and it'll be next morning? And if you pick night, eventually when you're done with whatever night things you're doing, night moves, I guess, I like that, you go home and you go to bed and you automatically go to the next morning. But this means, stamina aside, I could just do whatever the fuck I wanted as long as I wanted, all in the same day. And I don't have to worry about what time it is in the day and who's where, you know, from 2 to 4 or whatever. Mm. And I don't have to rush. I could literally sit there and decide, okay, what am I going to do if I want it? I'm not being that crazy, but, and that simple feature means the pressure's gone. There is still a calendar and there are specific events and there are specific seasons, but it's also shorter. And if I was really desperate, nothing is tied to me having to make certain benchmarks. So if I missed a season, I could theoretically just go to bed. Oh, it's winter again. Real fast. So like, I really feel like there's no pressure on. And so I think it's actually going to be casual. And I'm excited. It's also on my console, and it also costs like $3. There are PC versions as well. So I'm not getting too into it because eventually there will be more involved because I'll find somebody I want to date. I'll try, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm about to go on vacation without my PlayStation. And so I'm like, while it's still at the point where I'm doing real basic shit, I'm going to try and stop so that I don't come back and forget what the fuck I was doing. Mm. So, but I'm enjoying it enough. I might just buy a separate one on PC and play it while I'm on vacation. But here's the biggie. The last game. Is the last game? Did I talk about all the games? Van Helsing 1 I didn't play. Burnout. Monster Harvest. No, I'm missing something. Whatever. Apparently it wasn't that interesting. But I got another one. It's an older game, a little bit, but Donut County.
Hmm.
You familiar?
It seems like I've heard of that one.
This is a very interesting game.
Is it?
Yes. It made kind of a splash when it came out because it has an off-the-wall mechanic very sort of reminiscent of Katamari Damacy, where you were rolling up balls and grabbing things to make stars or whatever. But this one is a hole in the ground and you swallow things up. And as you swallow things up, the hole gets bigger and then you can swallow up more things. And it is at its heart a puzzle because there become more elements. I mean, first it's like, oh, find the small things so that you can get big enough to get the big things. Because in general, most of the levels are like, swallow all the stuff here. But then it gets to things where like, this you can't swallow unless you swallow. Once you swallow this campfire, your hole will have smoke and embers coming out of it. And then if you go over here, it'll catch this thing on fire and it'll break apart into pieces that are of a size you can get. And then later, there's ones where like, oh, there's a lake here. And whenever you try and swallow it, you get filled up with water and you can't swallow anything. But then there's another thing where there's one of those little drinking birds and it'll drink up the water and then you can do it again. And so you have to use this. And then it starts to get way more complicated where like you're in a kitchen and there's a recipe and you go here and it makes the soup pour into your hole, and then you have to go here so it gets seasoned, and it has to be the right recipe so that this thing will eat it, so that then this thing will open, and later you can get things where you can catapult stuff out of the hole. So it's a puzzle, is what it is. And it's an indie game a lot of people were involved, but it has one designer named Ben Esposito, and he created it. It also is very narrative heavy in a bizarre and hilarious way.
Really?
Yes. After some real introductory, I would say, sort of tutorial stuff, the game starts with the entire town, or I guess the entire county, 1,000 feet underground. Really pissed off at the one who put them here, who is also there. And a lot of the first levels involve flashbacks to how each person ended up down here. And then it goes from there, and eventually you get to sort of the present, and then you have to do things to try and help things out. And the characters, there's one human character, and pretty much all the other characters in the game are like animal characters of some kind, anthropomorphized. But it also involves raccoons running a donut shop, and that being at the forefront of a broader issue that sort of is the plot of the game.
A broader
I don't
issue.
Want to give away spoilers because it's real weird. But I will also say at the end of each level, there's a thing called Trashopedia. And you go there and it basically shows you new items that you got. And it has a little description of what it is. And the descriptions are the most hilarious thing. They're not very accurate, almost as if they were created by like a raccoon. But they're real funny. It's real clever. And all the dialogue is also, it's very modern. There's lots of sort of text speak thrown in. And actually, some of the dialogue, you're literally texting each other. And you don't have to type the things. You just hit reply and then it puts it in. There's no voice acting. But it's really clever and fun. And I just found it really fast. That being said, it's really short. I beat the game in like 2 hours.
Wow.
But I have replayed the levels, even though there's like maybe a dozen levels all total. Because they're just fun. It's also not at all hard puzzles. A couple of times I thought I had screwed something up and I restarted the level. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you can ever dead end yourself.
Okay.
But there were a few. I didn't have to look any up online, so that says something. I did all figure them out myself. But I thought it was really fun. And for the couple of bucks I paid for it, it was a good time. And it's something I also really want to encourage. It was a real small group of people who made a really creative and interesting game with a real fun physics engine and stuff. So
cool.
I would recommend it. But the story is, nobody ever talked about the story. I think the story is hilarious, really. And gets very interesting. Near the end, you have levels that are essentially like heist levels, but it gets real creative where like you have to make sure you don't wake up people here, and you have to, like, if you swallow the key card, then you can go to this lock, and it's a whole deal. And it has a real cute sense of humor that I really enjoy. It's very comedic in general. By the end, it has some actual fucking boss fights, which I didn't enjoy, because like you genuinely have to, like, it's timed and shit, and you have a health bar and you can die, and I didn't die, but I came close because I just didn't understand what the hell was happening. But there's a lot of that. There's a lot of stuff that you will learn about early in the game that you're like, what, why, huh? And later, it'll be much later where you kind of figure it. You never fully do. It's very surreal. Also, like, you never really get an explanation, but you kind of can put pieces together. Like, you don't know why one of the characters is obsessed with reaching rank 10 so he can get a quadcopter. Like, you don't know what rank 10 is in what and why the fuck he's so obsessed about a quadcopter. Like, but it's a thing that he's very excited about for some reason.
Okay.
So yeah, it was very fun. All right. Those of you who stopped listening because you don't give a shit about video games, you can start listening. read us an email.
Okay.
Unless you had something to add, but you look very bemused, so I'm assuming you don't. You look like I feel when you go on for a half hour about Hunt to Kill It. Speaking of which, are you going to invest?
In what?
Have they not sent you that email?
Hunt yeah, they killers. Did. I would, but I mean, I don't know. The lowest, I mean, I'm sure you can invest whatever you want, but, you know, the lowest thing for a reward is $1,000. And
wow. I didn't even get that far.
I don't think we have $1,000. Just to
I actually invest. Unsubscribed from their mailing list completely ineffectively a couple times. But separately, they let you unsubscribe from the investment emails. And I'm hoping that one sticks. I'm still getting shit for them. I'm like, I love you guys. I purposely told you, stop emailing.
No, I didn't mind getting. I mean, I read it and they had a little video that was interesting with it and stuff.
Makes me nervous. Usually that kind of thing with a company that's been around that long makes me think they're struggling. Not that they're so successful they want to expand. Despite that's usually how it's framed.
Yeah, that is how it was framed. I mean, if I had just spare money sitting around, I could probably do it.
You didn't have to go to college for an advanced degree so you can help people with their trauma.
Yeah, all that. So Stu asks,
"What does Stu say?" Asks, "Yes."
Where are you going to move to avoid the effects of climate change? Or are you going to ride out crispy Iowa to the last?
Crispy Iowa. This is a fucking thing. I only learned yesterday. We technically don't live in the same city. I didn't just learn that yesterday.
You and I don't technically.
You and I don't. I live in Iowa City. You live in Coralville. Apparently, Coralville is kind of jacked.
What do you mean?
I mean, buildings were broken and shit.
Apparently,
roofs have come off things and stuff.
Yeah, within a mile of us, there's tornado damage from.
Yeah.
Now, for the people listening, this would be 2 or 3 weeks ago now.
I think it would have been 2 weeks ago. No, wait. It would have been 2 weeks ago tomorrow, I think. It would have been 3 weeks ago tomorrow. Or was it
just last Friday? There was damage. I mean, just across basically the interstate from us. I mean, the interstate's right there. I can see the cars going by. You know, you hear it at night when you're trying to sleep. Right across the interstate, there was tornado damage, yeah.
But this is one of a spate in the last few weeks of, let's call them what they are, severe summer storms happening in late March and early April. This is not the time of year this shit is supposed to be happening.
No, you're right. And, you know, for the farm that I grew up on, it's just, you know, 100 miles away near Des Moines. Dad's farm was hit with a tornado a year ago. A shed there got hit and flipped over, and yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before? Anyway, there were tornadoes in that area again. He had to take cover. He wasn't at his house; he was at his wife's house, but that's not that far away. It's still in Marion County, and he had to take cover there and everything. So, I mean, when I was growing up, I mean, there was probably a tornado somewhere in Iowa every year, but there wasn't a tornado in like Marion County where we lived every year, even. And now this is like, you're pretty much getting some kind of activity at least once, you know, on average once a year in your general area. And as you pointed out, not during the time of year that it used to happen. It's quite a bit earlier. And
storms are getting real much more severe than they used to be in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Even the non-tornado ones.
Yeah. You've got more of them breaking out in, you know, where you'd have one tornado, you've got three tornadoes, you know, And I'm not saying it didn't happen where you didn't have a group of them. That did happen, but it seems like almost every time there's any kind of tornado activity at all, it's multiple.
What I mean is, even when there's no tornado involved, like we've joked before that around here, if somebody's visiting not from the Midwest and they hear there's a severe thunderstorm warning, they're like, oh my God, do we have to do something? And we're like, if they don't mention tornadoes, we don't give a shit. But they're getting to the point where sometimes we need to give a shit now.
Sure. Yeah. And not just derechos either. Like,
just straight up thunderstorms.
Right.
We'll do real bad hail damage, or we'll, I'm waking up and having branches fall out of trees and stuff.
That's right. You're right. That's true too. Cause I mean, I grew up in a drafty old farmhouse that would shake. I mean, the walls would shake with a moderate thunderstorm. So I grew up just living in a house that whenever there was a strong rain, I thought the whole thing was going to blow away. But now, even if you're in a newer house and a stronger structure, it feels like that when because just about all the thunderstorms are like that these days. Yeah. It is really interesting how that's happened. Yeah. Now, I don't know what it means for Iowa though. Like to Stu's question, like 20 years, 30 years from now, is it going to be super hot or super wet or super cold in the winter? I mean, I don't know what the overall effect or impact on Iowa is going to be. Although, one would think that our climate in Iowa is going to feel more like what, say, Arkansas felt like, 20 years ago. But I don't know. And I would never have wanted to live in Arkansas. I mean, I like having four seasons and I like having winter and I like having snow. And I'm not sure that's in very much time we're going to have all of that.
Well, I talked recently about how the Pacific Northwest is starting to get seasonal weather that is more like it used to be here. Before I say too much here, let's get this out of the way, because I know a lot of you are wondering. Yes, William is under a curse very similar to Davy Jones in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies, where he's only allowed to set foot out of Iowa one day a year. And his heart is buried in a chest out of state. He won't tell anybody where, because that's the only way you can kill him. So William's definitely staying.
I'm definitely staying no matter what. Yeah.
Yeah. William is has to, for mystical and mythic reasons. William has to stay in Iowa.
But I don't know what it'll be like. And I'm sure I won't like it, but I'm not leaving. So.
And my first thought of Stu's question here is, where exactly do you think climate change isn't impacting things?
He seemed mostly concerned with it being hot here. Like maybe we'd move north where it's cooler for a while longer anyway.
And he is a former Brit, still sort of Brit. And I got to admit, in the UK, the most impact to the average citizen of global climate change has been the weather's just a lot nicer. So I get it. And that, I guess, becomes a thing at a certain point. If there's a climate that you like, you have to find a place that it changes into that climate. So in other words, in 20 years, the place that has weather like San Francisco has now will become the new San Francisco and be the most expensive place to live in the US. But I've never lived in Iowa for the climate. Because the climate's always kind of sucked. It's just sucking in different ways now.
Yeah.
And we get, I also feel like we're getting less than a lot of other places. I feel like it's having less seriously detrimental impact on us. probably because we were so temperate already, kind of.
Well, there's several things to consider. One, you know, we're not coastal, so we don't have to worry that much about water levels. Also, most Iowans don't get their water from, say, aquifers that are replenished by snow melt and things like that. So we don't, we're not going to face that. We might face some water issues that happen for in other ways, but we're not going to have those particular water issues.
Yeah. It would largely have to do with the agriculture, I think.
Sure. Things like that.
Bigger impact.
Maybe a lack of rain, you know, it'd have to be a long time of a lack of rainfall, longer than someone who relies on, say, snowpack and things like that, which we generally don't. And there's a few other things too. And like, as you said, we started in a different place than most people with really hot, humid summers and snowy winters and things. So to a lot of people's sensibilities, it's kind of like you were saying about Great Britain, the weather has improved. You know, it's like, it's actually better.
I loved how mild the winter was this year.
Yeah.
But so there's an old XKCD comic where somebody there's a bad snowstorm and they're like, oh, so much for global warming. Look at all the snow. And the other person is like, yeah, but it's not always everything. But also, if you look at the last several decades, the snowfall is less and the weather is like, it is actually warming up if you look at the winters. And then the final panel is like 2030. And it just says, oh, look, there's a patch of ice in St. Louis. So much for global warming. and I always liked that one. But, okay, I'm going to make this simple. Here are the reasons I might move out of Iowa City. And I think there's all of them. These are all of them. One is, it somehow becomes a real shitty place to live for socioeconomic reasons.
Mm.
Not because the weather gets bad, but suddenly it's crime filled. All the infrastructure, all the fun people that are here in the culture goes away. It becomes real expensive. The basic resources of things are gone and shit like that. It just, the town is shitty. Not that the climate is shitty, but the town gets all shitty on
me. Okay.
It would have to get pretty bad for me to give a damn, but that could be a thing. And actually, Iowa is in a thing where young people don't fucking want to live here. And that is a thing. To be fair, it's a thing that's been going on since before I moved here. The Iowa brain drain has been a term at least since the early 90s.
Was in high school, actually, since the 80s at least.
And it ebbs and flows, but I do think that is a trajectory, and okay. But I don't care about young people, so whatever. Two, when we are both retired, we have the opportunity and the urge to retire to somewhere like, oh, we always loved the San Juan Islands or someplace that we think is cool and we can afford to live there. So let's just do it. And we'll have our golden years in a condo or a cottage on the coast of Lake, whatever the crap. I could see that. I think that is unlikely, but it's a possibility. We have actually talked about that one. And the third is one of those things where I inherit like a really cool house. And the only catch is that it's supposedly haunted and I have to spend one night there or whatever. Then maybe we move to do that. That's pretty much it, I think. I mean, I could see versions where if shit goes real south in my marriage and I have enough of a trauma that I kind of want to leave, and or there are aspects to that that make it much more beneficial to live somewhere else. Like, let's say Trish leaves me and I fall into a huge depression. I might move to a state with legal weed. But just to pick a random example. But I think I also find that highly unlikely. So yeah, I don't think I'm going anywhere. And you can't. It is real funny whenever he goes to like Illinois or whatever, he has to stand in a bucket of water. I told him it's not like the actual Pirates movie, but he thinks that's what he has to do.
It just makes me feel better. That's all. No, I'm going to Illinois in 2 weeks.
Are you going to Illinois?
That's where I have to go next quarter for school.
Oh, for your business, your internicum. Your residence.
They call it residency, but
how long is it? It's just like a week.
Yep.
So it's similar to the shit you did in Phoenix.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing, except in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah, which I'm glad of because then I can drive. I don't have to fly. Thank God.
And we okay, everybody. We got to hook him up. Where's the places that he has to go?
Oh,
things he has to eat off the top of my head. Well, okay, I have to eliminate a lot of things because you're vegetarian, so Nando's is pointless. However, I know there's at least one Korean corn dog place in Chicago, and Korean corn dogs, some versions are cheese instead. But they have lots of different varieties, so you should check that out. I think you should go to the Cat Cave just because I think it's a good learning experience for you.
I don't know what that is.
I talked about the Cat Cave. You remember the Cat Cave? Okay, Cat Cave is a wonderful charity. You should all go make. So the Cat Cave is a Chicago cat shelter that tends to specialize in real, real, like, messed up, probably going to die cats. They take in the serious cases. And it is also a space with a lot of comfy furniture and some video games and some televisions where you pay by the hour to go and hang out there. And there's cats just around. And you can play with them and they'll come see you and you can pet them. It's like a cat cafe, but it doesn't really have the cafe part to it. And it's a real nice time for cat lovers, and I think you would learn a great deal in the experience. We've done it. We did it once, and then we were going to do it a bunch more, but then we haven't been able to get back. But every time we go to Chicago, basically, we want to do that. We donate to them. They have a particular cat that lives there, who is a orange tabby that's kind of like a caramely looking one. His name is Leo, and he's adorable. He's a gorgeous cat, big, soft, fluffy one. And when we went to visit, he climbed up on me and like was here just across my body and basically zonked out for like most of the hour. He just lay there and we snuggled. And he's really awesome. So, but it's a fun time. They have lots of little kittens and stuff. And they very much, you know, would love for you to adopt them, but that's not, you don't have to. You just get to hang out and play with cats. So anybody who goes to Chicago, go to the Cat Cave. It's called Cat Cave, like arcade, but instead of AR, it's CAT. Cat Cave. And it's awesome. Yeah, I'm thinking all the things I want to do in Chicago next time I'm there. A lot of them involve eating meat, so that's no good. There's a Nando's there. It's one of the few places in the U.S. has a Nando's, but you don't eat chicken, so they probably have vegetarian options there, but I don't. Unless you're really into peri-peri spice, I don't think there's a reason for you to go. Anyway, a lot of you know better than me. What are the things, if he's only going to be in Chicago for a week and most of the time doing nerdy therapist shit, what does he have to do?
Yeah, I have a car, so I could probably drive to most places. Don't know if I want to, but
I don't remember if I told you. I was watching a video on Dropout. They have a series called Dirty Laundry, and it's they have four guests on, and they read secrets of like really fucked up shit that happened to people, or really unbelievable shit, and everybody has to guess whose secret it was, and you get points on guessing right, or you get more points if you fooled everybody. But they had one that involved somebody. It was something involving a roller coaster. I don't know what it is, but they were talking about, like, I have this thing about amusement parks, and I think they're really cool and all this. And the guy who is the bartender during it was like, me too. That's the whole thing. And he's like, and there's this one that's really awesome called Cedar Point. And he was like, oh my God. And they were like, oh my God, we could just sit here and talk, like list your favorite coaster from Cedar Point, like in order and all. And, and after about 5 minutes, they basically had to stop them and be like, we have to go on with the show. But I thought of you. I was like, Cedar Point.
Cedar Point, yep. Great place to go.
So if there's a Cedar Point in Chicago, tell them about it. Anyway,
there's a Six Flags. That's all for now.
Have you seen the Six Flags commercial with the old guy in the suit and he does the little dance?
Mm-hmm.
So during this last week's, the one with Quentin Bunson, the Saturday Night Live, during the weekend update, which is always our favorite part of SNL, we watch it every week regardless, they had a thing of Trump's indictment and being arrested and all that. And when they asked President Biden his thoughts, he said, no comment. And then danced off like the Six Flags guy. And they had a picture of the Six Flags guy with Biden's face superimposed. And I was like, I'll bet he fucking did.
That's pretty good.
I like the guy from the Six Flags commercial, but I much more like every parody I have seen of it because it's always great. And most of them were honest. I don't know anything about it. Anyway, that's it for this week. Next week, the background for me will look different because I won't be here. Maybe I'll give y'all a tour. And this time, I'll be celebrating a parent's birthday, not hanging out in an Airbnb because of a death. So
that's an improvement.
That'll be good. And my wife will be there, and that'll also be good. So that'll be fun. In the meantime, please email us themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com. I don't know if people are noticing. I know William isn't because he doesn't notice anything. But I have been making a concerted effort to try and get more into the emails because that's what we're all about here. And I'm not going to say I've been succeeding real well, but I am trying. And the way you can help is to have stuff that we can read. So do that. And I mostly keep thinking about it from my perspective. And if I was listening regularly to a podcast and I could just send an email and make them talk about that, I would do that every day. And some of it would be things I'm interested about. Some of it would just be the perverse joy of forcing them to talk about topics I don't think they want to talk about. And also, every single time I had one of those questions in my head, like, does such and such animal have thumbs? Like, I wouldn't look it up. I would just email it to that podcast. Like, I feel that there is a resource to be crassly exploited here that none of you are. I mean, maybe that just means all our listeners are better than me, but. Fuck you. I can't end on fuck you. But you're not better than me, damn it. Well, okay, most of you probably are. But still, write in. MagicTalkingHat@gmail.com. Bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.